Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Chihuahua. I know I'm butchering that one.
We're gonna get some tweets about that. Probably one. That so. Would be weird, though.
Would be a little weird. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee. Chraw.
Chraw and Spoon.
What?
Is it a churn and spoon? Chraw and Spoon.
Chraw and Spoon. StrangeBrewCoffeehouse.com. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for, and you certainly are out there looking for it. When you need a new polo, a new hat, a new t-shirt, something for the car, something for the tailgate, something for the house, whatever it is, it's at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, FOA by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best place in town to eat is at Restaurant Tyler. So go give them a look. If you're going to be in Starkville this weekend, any weekend, anytime you're here, the best meal in town awaits you. My favorite lunch in town. I love a blue plate. I love fried chicken. I love catfish. I get it at Restaurant Tyler. It never disappoints. It's always great. When you want a great meal, you head to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let them show you not only where they're located on that website, but show you how they're going to help you manage your money, help you invest, and help you plan for the future. Now more than ever, it's so important to be able to get answers when you have questions about your money. You don't have to be on hold for 30, 40 minutes with some call center, and then they're going to connect you to somebody who doesn't know anything. You want to talk to people you know, people in your community. You can do that with Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. All right. Let's see what all we got today. We talked to Jeff Lebby earlier. The man set a new land speed record. That was an 8-minute press conference where he answered, I think, 12 questions. So we're getting a question over better than a question a minute out of this guy. Like, the analytics on a Jeff Lebby press conference are very, very good. You know, so there's that. Coming off of the bye week, you know, you asked him the question that you know, it's kind of cliched, but I thought it was appropriate. You know, did you feel like the bye week came at a good time? And he made the first point, obviously, that health-wise, yeah, it absolutely did. And I think we would all agree on that. But he talked about focus on little things in this press conference and focus on, you know, cleaning up some issues. That makes sense to me because right now when you look at where state's problems are, to me, is that they're in the little things. They're in the details. It's not the big picture stuff. You can't fix the talent issue on the bye week, but you can play cleaner. You can't stop costing yourself so many penalty yards, so many mistakes. So I thought that was a great answer from him, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, obviously the health part of things was probably the biggest help for Mississippi State this week is you got a chance to heal up Isaac Smith. I mean, I got to think that he's probably ready to play. You had a week off, and then you're going to have all of this week. And he was a game-time decision in that game against Texas. So he should be in good shape to play, and several others. I mean, who knows about Calvin Dinkins and Kedrick Beanley-Jones, but they need one of those two just for the depth at this point, and, you know, some other guys too, secondary guys, things like that. So that was a big thing too, but also just a chance to just take a step back. I mean, they've been constantly, you know, been getting hammered with the negativity like that they've had and the failure that they've had of losing four straight games. I mean, that's tough to recover from. So getting a chance to to take a week away from that where you're just kind of focusing on your body, focusing on getting better at things you've been struggling at. You kind of take a microscope and you find some things that you're really struggling with and find out a way to fix it. It kind of sucks for you that the team you're playing is a top five team, you know, after that, and you got to go right back to, you know, probably facing some more adversity this week. But I do think that this probably was really beneficial for them to kind of step back, take a load off a little bit, work on some things, get healthy, and try to move forward in that way.
It did sound like they took the week as easily as they could take it. Like,
yeah.
He mentioned that a couple of times about, you know, letting guys sort of get away and so they could come back with good energy. You know, a lot of coaches might go another way on that. Like, hey, we're 1-4. We need to really work the hell out of these guys this week. It feels like Lebby took an opposite approach. Unfortunately, I don't know if we'll get to see the results of that because of who you're playing this week. But at the same time, I don't hate that idea. You know, it's hard on these guys. And look, they sign up for that. A lot of them are getting paid right now. I'm not saying they shouldn't work hard. But at the same time, you know, sometimes you do need to take that little bit of that step away and just, you know, when you have a chance to get a little bit of a physical and mental break, you got to take advantage of that.
Yeah, for sure. I think this was really good for them just to kind of step back. Like, that's just – sometimes we talk about it in baseball a lot. Like, sometimes guys just need a break.
Mm-hmm.
They just need to sit back and just refocus, take a breath. Sometimes, like, that's what needs to happen. And for them, I think – You judge your team and you look at the best thing for them, and every team's different. Some guys need to go out there and get their tails whipped, or they need to get yelled at or whatever, get whipped into shape, whatever. And some guys, they need just a break. And I think this crew, they really needed a break just to kind of step back and I guess just refocus a little bit.
The other question, I guess you and I had the top two questions today. Because I'm going to give myself credit, and this is where we're going to take the sign from. The sign is brought to you by Pip Printing and Signs, who want to remind you that if you want to see the sign, and that means if you want to see people coming in and out of the door of your business, then Pip Printing and Signs is a phone call that you need to make. You need to talk to our friend Cam Baker and tell him you heard about him on Thunder and Lightning and find out exactly what it is he can put together for your business, whether it's we're talking about mailers, marketing materials, or we're talking about signage and graphics for inside your business. Pip Printing and Signs can make your customers see the sign as well. 601-499-5216. When you need printing, call Pip today. I asked Lebby about his decision to slow things down last two Saturdays ago and how, you know, it kind of goes against what he is as a coach. And Robbie, I couldn't have been more pleased with his answer. He could have been like, Brian, that is the greatest question anyone's ever asked me, and I would not have been any more happy if with what he said.
Yeah,
he talked about, he's like, you know, it's you got to take advantage of what you can, and he's like, from the ego part of it, you've got to put that aside and do what it takes to win. My God, Robbie, is that refreshing to hear from a college football coach?
Yeah, it'd be one thing if he said that, you know, several weeks ago, was just making a comment about it, but we've actually seen him do it, and he backs it up by telling you why he did it. And I think when you go back to post game, when we were talking about that Texas game, one of the things that stood out about that game was the fact that Jeff Lebby kind of tried to hold the ball, play possession. You know, it was much different than what we've usually seen from him and his offenses, that fast pace, up tempo, no huddle offense. Like, he was really slowing the game down. And I think that was really refreshing to see, but even more refreshing to hear him talk about the fact that you can't really, you know, have the ego in mind whenever you go into a game planning for a team. You got to do whatever you got to do to win the ball game. And that was great to hear, because we've seen coaches here at Mississippi State that refuse to do what it takes to win the game. Mm-hmm. They're going to do things their way, whether they win or not, don't care. They're going to run their plays. They're going to run their scheme. They're going to do their game plan the way that they've always done it. Jeff Lebby is a guy that he just wants to find a way to win. That's a very good sign.
Yeah, I can't stress enough how, you know, look, Lebby, the way this season's going, it's fair to have questions about Jeff Lebby. It's absolutely fair. This team is not very good this year. Some of the decisions Lebby made in terms of his staff have backfired. You know, some of the evaluations that they made on players have obviously not been great. But at least that answer gives me the hope for the future that this is a guy who's willing to do whatever it takes to win, even if it means going. This is at the absolute core of his coaching philosophy. The idea that you should go fast, that you should play tempo, that you should be snapping the ball with 27, 28 seconds left on the play clock. That is Jeff Lebby's number one on his bullet point list of how should you coach a football team. And he looked at the situation and said, I can't do that this week.
It's a big reason why this offense works is the tempo.
Right. And he realized, he's like, I can't get away with that. With this young quarterback against this team, I can't do it. I fully expect. Now look, when they play Arkansas, when they play UMass, when they play some of the other teams on their schedule, maybe they get back to that. But against these teams, yes, slowing it down and trying to limit possessions is the only way you have a chance to stay in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so I give full credit to Jeff Lebby for that. I thought another good question was asked by Sam from the Clarion Ledger. He talked about, you know, the balance that they had, and they've running the ball pretty heavily these past couple of weeks. Obviously, against Georgia, you know, you don't want to put too much of the game onto Van Buren. But even against Florida, when Chapin was still healthy, State took advantage of what they had, and that's another good sign for Jeff Lebby. He's like, look, we're running the ball, we're having success at it. Let's stick with that, and let's not. We don't have to have true 50-50 balance. Let's find what works and stick with it. That's something that, you know, Mike Leach, God rest his soul, didn't do, right? He could have early success with the running game, but he was still going to throw the ball 40-50 times. Jeff Lebby, again, these are good signs for me for Jeff Lebby. I understand there's a lot of negatives to point out with Jeff Lebby. That's a positive right there, that he feels like he's willing to adapt.
Yeah, and they've had back-to-back games essentially with 200 yards rushing. I know they had 150 against Texas, but they had 200 before sacks. So running the football has been successful for Mississippi State the last two games.
Mm-hmm.
And going to need to be successful against Georgia if you want to stay in that ballgame. They're not going to be able to just throw the ball around the yard 50 times and stay in it. They're going to have to be able to run with success, move the chains, run the football, possess it. It's, to me, it essentially has to be the same game plan that it was against Texas. I don't see another way around it. I don't think that you can put the defense on the field against Georgia, because this is a game that, you know, Mike Bobo loves this game. Because he can run his style of offense. They can run it down State's throat. They can, you know, control the line of scrimmage. That's what Bobo's going to want in this game. And he's probably going to have success doing it. I don't see State going man-to-man with Georgia and being able to get off the field consistently when they're running downhill. So you got to keep the ball out of Carson Beck's hands and possess it as long as you can. And another point that he made about that game is they've got to take advantage when they have those opportunities. They can't be settling for field goals.
Yeah.
Touchdowns are far more important in a game like this than field goal. And in every game now for State, I mean, they can't survive with just kicking field goals. So the defense isn't going to give them that chance. So this is a game where I think you got to have the same game plan as you did against Texas. And to stay in that ball game even longer this week, you got to take advantage when you got those chances.
Yes, and that's going to be a tough ask for this Mississippi State team. This Georgia team is outstanding. And here's the thing about Georgia right now is they know they have no wiggle room, right?
Yeah.
If Georgia had beaten Alabama, maybe you catch them looking ahead to Texas next week, you know?
They're going to be a little more motivated.
But now they realize, hey, if we lose this game, we're probably not going to make the college football playoff.
Yeah.
So you don't have that you know, I wouldn't know if advantage is the right word to describe it as, but you don't have that in your back pocket anymore if you're Mississippi State. So
if you can go into this game and have the same result as you did against Texas,
I think you're fine.
Be happy.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost as simple as the word cover.
Yeah.
Just cover.
If you cover the spread against Tennessee, Georgia, and Texas, Tennessee, and Georgia.
Yeah.
This year, I think everybody will be thrilled.
Yeah, you lose this game 38-14. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you start the season over Saturday, the next Saturday against Texas A&M, and you feel like maybe you can.
Can you find like two more wins or something?
Yeah, two more wins. It's hard to believe that 3-9 is like a ceiling, but that's kind of where you are.
That's where Mississippi State is as a program right now, man. Like, you just got to take little wins when you got them. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a very difficult thing to rebuild. Because one of the things that I asked Jeff today was, how do you, you know, they've had some good results in recruiting, and now we're seeing some bad results. It looks like Austin Howard's probably going to flip to Vanderbilt, which, you know, I think Vanderbilt was always like a tough place for him to say no to. It's kind of beyond the fact that he's a Tennessee guy. Like, the school itself, like, I think his family was really intrigued with him getting that opportunity at Vanderbilt. And then, you know, they do what they did against Alabama, and you have what you have. And then Mario Nash decommits right before we start recording. You know, I've always felt weird about this kid since he committed. I think he just likes recruiting a lot. Mm-hmm. If you have a commitment from a kid and he's constantly taking visits elsewhere, he's not committed to you.
Yeah.
We talk about follow the visits. Even if he's not going somewhere else every single week, like the same place, the fact that he's taking visits tells you what you need to know.
Yeah.
Mario Nash was not committed to you. And that's fine. I understand his side of that. You know, Mississippi State right now is in a state of flux, and you don't really know what the future holds for this program. But let's just call it what it is. The kid ain't committed.
Yeah.
He's going to Ole Miss. He's going to LSU. He's going to Florida State, taking official visits. He hardly talks about Mississippi State. He ain't committed. So at least he came out and announced it. I'm just glad that now we're getting national stories on his decommitment, because God knows nobody was saying crap when he committed.
Yeah,
I'm sitting around waiting for a national story. Mississippi State got a 4-star this summer. Nothing. But we got crystal balls. We got predictions. We have breaking news, decommitment stories. Where was that at when he committed to State? Let's get on the same page here.
Well, you know how that goes. Yeah. That's just par for the course.
It's not cool whenever they commit to Mississippi State, but when they're wide open again,
yeah,
that's when it's fun to talk about.
The other interesting recruiting news of the day, and I don't know if recruiting's the right word, but portal news, is the Alabama defensive tackle Jaheim Otis has entered the portal. Of course, from Columbia, Mississippi, was the top player in the state 2 seasons ago. Mississippi State was heavily recruited him. I think State, if you go back and look, I think State probably finished 3rd in that recruitment, probably behind Ole Miss. This is the biggest test of the Bulldog initiative and of Charlie Winfield and of Jeff Lebby and of everything that we're going to see probably this offseason. This is a guy who can come in and be a difference maker for you. He was really good last year for Alabama. Looked like he had a very promising career in front of him for whatever reason, because it's Alabama, I guess, and they just constantly stack talent on top of talent. He's fallen down the depth chart a little bit. But don't tell me that's not a guy who could come in and immediately make Mississippi State's defense better. They have to find a way to win that battle. I don't know if they will or not, but if they don't, that's going to be like a sign to me of where we are going forward. And I hate to put that kind of pressure on people, but it just is what it is.
This is a battle you
need to win.
I don't know if I can make that kind of declaration.
I will make it for you then. I have made it.
That goes against your premise of like the nuance thing.
Mm-hmm.
That goes against everything that you say about we didn't have nuance in conversation.
I understand that. I understand there has to be nuance. But this is a situation to me. There's less nuance. There just needs to be. You have to win.
I disagree completely with that. You have a team. I'm not making excuses, but I'm just being realistic here. Mm-hmm. And it goes back again also to the fact that people think that it's just a money thing.
Right.
It's not. That you can't just write a check to whoever you want and they come to your school. And you've actually said the same thing, but now you're going against that and saying something completely opposite.
I'm saying that this is a situation where you should have some connections.
But you also have a. This is the difficulty of this.
This is
rebuild.
One where you've got to make him say no to a.
I mean, yeah, I would offer. Definitely would, but sure. I'm just saying, like the end, like if the end result is him going to Ole Miss, I'm not going to say, well, that's just it. This isn't going to work. I can't jump to that conclusion. But you are.
I'm just saying that a loss. If he ends up at Ole Miss, look, if he ends up at LSU, if he ends up at USC, I get it. Okay,
But if he goes to Ole Miss, that changes everything.
That's going to be a tough pill to swallow.
Well, it will, but the end of this, like, it's just not
going to
work.
At that point, I'm just going to be like, who are you going to get? When is Mississippi State going to get a transfer in here that makes me stand up and go, oh, okay.
I mean, that's the issue.
I mean, they're doing it in basketball.
Have, right. The basketball team with the two straight
tournaments. I get it. So, but when is it going to happen?
I don't know that this is a program that has got to sell something that it hasn't shown yet. That they don't have anything to sell other than a vision by Jeff Lebby.
It feels like it's a vicious circle.
And maybe it's the issue that you're in right now, that you have to sell something that you haven't proven.
Right.
Because
you
haven't
proven it until you sell something.
Yeah, so it's got to be unreal recruiting. It's got to be a lot of money being spent. And I don't know who they're going to get, but they got to get some impact guys in here. And maybe, you know, I don't have a ton of confidence. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I don't have a ton of confidence if Mississippi State goes head-to-head with Ole Miss for Jaheim Otis, they're going to win that battle.
Mm-hmm.
He's got connections with Pete Golding.
Yeah.
He's got other connections at Ole Miss. I arguably probably had them number two in his recruitment. I don't know.
Agreed.
And if he's getting in the portal, I have to believe that Ole Miss is already talking to the kid.
But State should be talking to him.
I'm sure they are too, but yeah. I'm just saying, like, right now Ole Miss has, oh, we brought in Walter Nolan. He's going to be a top 10 pick probably. Mm-hmm. We brought in Princely, whatever his name is, from Florida. Mm-hmm. They have more to sell right now than Mississippi State does. And on top of that, you know, everybody knows Ole Miss is spending a lot of money, and they've gotten some big-name transfers. State is way behind in that regard. They've got to make some headway here, and I don't know if they're going to be able to make headway to get a guy like that out of the portal, but I agree with you. You shoot your shot, and you try to get as far in the game as you possibly can, even if that means overpaying for this guy from a perception standpoint. And from a, you know, he's a guy that helps you next year. If you add him in the middle at nose guard to go along with a Xavien Hardy and Kevontae Henry and guys that you have coming in that I think are going to help you, it changes your defense.
Yeah.
It's a guy that can get push up front. State needs him a lot more than other schools need him.
Yes.
But the question is for him, like, does he want to join a place that right now is in total rebuild mode and trying to get back, claw itself back up. So I don't know. It's a weird situation that you're in. And like I said, I can't make the declarations that you are on this. Like, I don't think it's as simple as if you get him, you know, it changes everything. If you don't get him, it's just not going to work out.
Let me put it this way then. Maybe I can soften it up a little bit.
Soften your words.
Yeah, this upcoming cycle for Mississippi State is what's going to make or break Jeff Lebby. All right, if they don't drastically improve the talent on campus, then you're going to go into year three with a guy who's maybe won five games total.
Yeah, I mean they definitely need to.
So they have to win some of these battles and get some real players in here.
They do.
And if they don't, then I'm just going to look at it and go, well, they're not capable of doing it.
Yeah. No, they need to get someone similar.
And Otis is Otis is probably going to be the best opportunity you have in terms of a guy who has some connections. He's from Mississippi. He's talking about leaving Alabama for playing time. He would be the starting nose tackle at Mississippi State day one, assuming he showed up with the right attitude.
Yeah.
There's no reason to lose that battle other than you can't win it. Yeah, if that makes, I feel like that's like a Trent Dilfer thing I just said.
There are reasons that you get
there are reasons, but you got to overcome them somehow.
Yeah, it's going to be difficult, man.
It's going to be difficult, but you know, I mean, I'll just go ahead and prepare for a come to the sip graphic from him. But
yeah, I fully believe that's where he's going to end up. But we'll see if State's able to win that.
We will see.
You know, Ole Miss probably hasn't said anything to the kid. Of course, they do things the right way. And
Just stop doing that. No, you sound like Borky over there. Don't do that.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
They can't talk to him until the portal opens.
They can't talk to him. But they can talk to his uncles. They can talk to his friends.
Yeah.
And that's how that's going to work. Never and hopefully that's what Mississippi State is doing. You say, you know, they would. You're taking shots at Ole Miss. In reality, what we should be saying is we should be doing that too. Mississippi State should be doing that too.
Ole Miss is doing it worse.
I don't think
there's anything wrong with it because there's no rules. I'm making fun of the people that act like they're not doing it.
Oh, well, those people are idiots.
Yeah, no, I fully expect that Ole Miss has already had people reaching out to him, and if they say they haven't, they're lying. And Mississippi State should have already done that too. They should have done that, you know, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Maybe they did. Who knows?
We'll find out.
Maybe this is the reason. Mississippi State's that's the reason he got in the portal.
That would be lovely. Let's move into our SEC picks. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. If you don't want to cook, oh, my voice just cracked there. I went back to 1992. If you don't want to cook, well then, go to one of our incredible steakhouses in the state of Mississippi. They're all over the place. Your city has one. There is a place in your town that's like, man, we make a great steak there. So go check them out or do it yourself. One way or the other, let's eat some beef this weekend. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked southern soul food that you are looking for. If you're going to be in Starkville, a trip to Two Brothers is a must do. So head to the Cotton District to enjoy some smoked southern soul food or a fancy sandwich at our friends at the Older Brother. Both great restaurants, both right there next to each other in the Cotton District. The Cotton District is where you want to go when you're in Starkville, and two of the best places to eat are right there. Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise you that to you. Every business likes to promise it to you. Advantage Business Systems, they deliver it to you, and they've been doing it for 50 years.
50.
So when you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call, and then if something goes wrong, you know it's just as easy as making a phone call to the people you've already talked to buy the product from. You don't have to be on hold for 45 minutes on a 1-800 number. You don't have to worry about making an appointment with somebody who can be there in a week to 10 days. It's a 601 number. You're going to talk to people you know, and best of all, you're going to get service that takes care of you, a lot of times the same day, because they're in Mississippi just like you. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to the games this fall, you need to be at Maroon & Co. If you're looking for gear that shows off that you're a Mississippi State fan, Maroon & Co. is the place to go. They have the best selection. They have people that they have the gear that you can't get anywhere else. Shirts, hats, polos, pullovers, everything. It's all right there at Maroon & Co. And you can save some money with us. Thunder15 is the promo code. Save 15% off regular price on some items. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to the games this fall, you need to go to Maroon & Co. All right, Robbie and I are back at the Pick'em. He is now
Shams
one.
Is now the new Woj.
Oh, he took over. What? Oh, he's going to ESPN?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's big for they.
I kind of knew those.
That makes sense, right?
Well, they kept saying, like, Adam Schefter. Like, why would you put somebody that's not already tied in to the NBA in that spot? It needs to be somebody that already has the sources. Like, that made no sense. It was like Schefter. Who else did they mention for that
like
job?
Schefter is like, I'm just going to start hey, Detroit Pistons GM.
I know we never talked to him.
It's Adam Schefter. Can you help me out?
Yeah. Which I'm sure he would have been able to do it, but do somebody that's already got those ties.
Yeah, so that's a good call for them. All right. Robbie, one game up on me now in the Pick'em.
Once again, I want to remind you that Brian made no mention of this until right now.
I said it on yesterday's show.
After I brought it up.
Here's what I'm going to try to tell you, and you know, man, you got to talk yourself up a little bit. All right? When I talk smack,
why do I have to talk
smack for you? Do
it's
it yourself.
It's not talking smack. It's stating the facts.
Well, then do it yourself. You can do it.
I don't like to pat myself on the back.
First of all,
I don't.
Do you not?
I'm fixing your camera.
I appreciate that. It's always messed up on Monday.
Well, earlier I got mad when you were talking about Mario Nash, and I'd like to talk with my hands.
You do.
And so I slapped it on accident.
You got a little Italian.
Little Nick Saban.
All right. Let's jump into these games this week. One non-SEC game this week. Missouri at UMass.
Ugh.
Not, by the way, that game, I think we brought this up before. That game is not at, like, Foxborough.
Like State did.
Yeah, this game is actually at UMass. It's at Warren McGurk Alumni Stadium in Amherst, Massachusetts.
Oh, my gosh. What are we doing?
Tickets as low as $15 and watch see the number 21 ranked Missouri Tigers.
Oh,
I think we'll go with the Tigers there.
Missouri's season is kind of slipping, isn't it?
Well, I mean, they have an easy enough schedule, but they'll probably lose to Alabama. They'll lose to Alabama, and they'll probably lose.
And that's it for them.
Well, they play Oklahoma.
If they lose one more, they're out.
Yeah,
I don't think a two loss Missouri.
And even then,
in.
10-2 might be iffy for them.
No, that's what I'm saying. If they lose one more, they're out. Like, if they're 10-2,
they need to be 11-1.
Yeah,
yeah. This loss,
because there's just not going to be. Yeah. I don't think there's going to be any.
No, you're right. You're right.
I mean, their best win would be Oklahoma.
Yeah,
probably,
at that point. Yeah.
If they lose to Bama.
Yeah.
If they beat Oklahoma too,
so I mean, we'll see.
Who knows?
We'll see what happens. All right, but we'll both take them to win this game.
I think they're a little fraudulent program.
I agree.
I've been one of the biggest like haters of Missouri since Eli Drinkwitz got there.
You hate Missouri,
and I finally got to the point where I was like, you know what? I think he's figured it out. I don't know. I think they just got a little fraudulent.
Yeah. South Carolina at Alabama. Alabama looking to bounce back from that loss to Vanderbilt. South Carolina looking to bounce back from a loss to Ole Miss. Hmm. I can't see a scenario where the Tide drop two in a row.
No.
If they do, DeBoer will not make it through the season. I'm going to make a prediction right here. If Alabama loses this game, Kalen DeBoer will be fired at the end of the year.
I'm going to make a prediction. If they lose this game, he will bring up the fact that Nick Saban lost to Louisiana Monroe in that first year.
Yes, yes.
So. Which has turned out to be just a really popular narrative for people. Yeah. I don't understand.
Yes.
But the reactions after that loss to Vanderbilt were just incredible. By the way, did you see that they have the last, I think it was like 7 games they've lost, people have rushed the field.
Yes.
That is insane.
I mean, that makes sense, though.
I guess it would be regular season, though.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't be like
it wouldn't be the playoffs or anything.
Yeah, so regular season. So, you know, losing to Vanderbilt, Tennessee, Ole Miss. I'm trying to think of some other ones in there.
Well, hold on. We can look at them right here.
I mean, so it wouldn't be Ole Miss.
I need the last 7.
It wouldn't be the 15 Ole Miss
game. You
need me
to tell you the last 7 regular season losses.
I saw the – maybe it's the road losses.
It's got to be road losses, right? Because they lost to Texas last year, but that was in Alabama.
They did. And they lost to Ole Miss in Tuscaloosa in 15.
Right. So that's not going to – so say 22, they lost at Tennessee. There was a field storming there. They lost at LSU. There was a field storming there.
Yes.
All right. 21, they lost – at Texas A&M, they stormed the field.
Yep.
And then...
I was in Pittsburgh.
That was it. Okay. 2020, they didn't lose the game. 2019, they lost at home to LSU, so that wouldn't be one.
No.
And then they lost at Auburn. Did Auburn storm the field?
Oh, yeah. The 19?
Yeah. Auburn was 9-4. They stormed the field?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they stormed the field.
Okay, well, then I'll take your word for that.
Because I remember thinking, why are you storming the field? You're actually...
Yeah, they were a good team. 2018, they lost one game, and it was in the national title. So that doesn't count. 2017, they lost one game. It was to Auburn, at Auburn. Oh, why did they lose that game? That wasn't a great
17?
Yeah. Auburn 17. Was 10-4. Well, Auburn would have been 10-2. They lost in the SEC championship game in their bowl. So, but they I don't know if
Bama had Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I don't know if they stormed the field that game or not. I don't know.
They did that one too. I remember that game now.
Okay.
Yep.
2016, they only lost the national title game. 2015, they lost one game, was to Ole Miss at home. No storming there. 2014, they lost to Ole Miss at Ole Miss.
Yep.
I know they stormed the field for that one. And then so that's probably right. Yeah. No field stormings this week though. Alabama beat South Carolina. All right.
Yes, I think South Carolina's a little fraudulent too, but I don't know if.
Well, I mean, you can't really call them fraudulent. They're not.
Well,
not good.
They killed Kentucky, and then everybody started talking about. Like,
yeah, but then
you know, they had college game day.
That was one of the worst coach games. The game they had against Ole Miss.
It was badly.
It was terrible.
It was badly messed up. I don't know if it was well coached, what it looked like, but their offense just isn't very good.
Yeah. Red River, whatever you want to call it, rivalry,
shootout,
whatever. I like shootout. Number one, Texas. Number 18, Oklahoma. Oklahoma, a couple years ago, got murdered in this game. Then last year, they knocked off Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I just have not been impressed with Oklahoma. You know, they beat Auburn. That's great. Tennessee handled them pretty easily. They weren't particularly impressive in their non-conference games. I think Texas wins this game pretty easily.
Yeah, I think they win big.
Okay.
I got Texas in this. Quinn Ewers is going to be probably starting, I would imagine. He's going to be – he's got somebody nipping on his heels, man. If he starts screwing around a little bit, they're going to feel good about Arch Manning. So that a lot of times that brings out the best in players. I think that he's going to be performing at a really high level when he comes back from. He was playing really well before he got hurt. So yeah. I think he's going to have a big showing here.
Okay.
Imagine like, oh, okay, we got the starters out. Now we got Arch Manning coming in.
Yeah.
You know, the backups
must be nice.
Can't stop scoring.
Yeah.
You know.
Florida at Tennessee. Tennessee going to look to bounce back. Florida's got a little bit of momentum, but Florida, when they won Saturday against Central Florida, that very well could be their final win of the season. The Florida's next few games, they're at Tennessee, they're at home against Kentucky, Georgia at Texas, LSU, Ole Miss at Florida State. They could be Florida State, I guess.
They're like not a dumpster fire like a lot of us thought they would be, but they're just seriously flawed in a lot of areas. Like, really good teams are going to be able to expose their weaknesses.
Yeah.
And I feel like Tennessee, I mean, their season's on the line here. I mean, they still got Bama coming up. They can't lose any more games. They can get in with two losses, I feel like. But they can't lose more than two. So this is going to be a, you know, get in or get out moment for them. And I don't see them losing this game.
Yeah, me too. I'm with you on that. Take the Vols.
This used to be owned by Florida, but I think Tennessee has turned that around,
yeah. Vanderbilt at Kentucky. I mean, this has to be the biggest letdown game of all time, right?
Yes, Vanderbilt's going to lose this game, I think.
I'm going to have to agree with you there. I just don't think Kentucky. Kentucky's a tough place to play anyway. They're a 14-point favorite, which is kind of surprising.
I would like to see the percentages of the teams that, like, they upset Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
What do they do the next week if they play legit?
Well, now you got me.
Yeah. Not legit, but like SEC teams that's not like the bottom of the barrel.
Why don't we look? So let's do it again.
You want to look up all of them?
Well, we'll just do like the ones we just brought up, right?
Okay.
So Texas last year beats Alabama. The next week they played Wyoming. It was the easy one.
Well, let's just do like the teams that they play like SEC teams after.
So Tennessee last year beats Alabama. The next week they play UT Martin. Then they killed Kentucky, but then they lost to Georgia the week after that. So not a.
Are we going to get anybody that played an SEC game afterwards?
LSU beats Alabama. The next week they only beat Arkansas by 3.
Yeah.
So it was tight.
Letdown game.
It was a letdown game.
That's a bad Arkansas team.
2021.
Too.
Who did we say they lost to? A&M. A&M the next week.
A&M had just lost, had they not?
They lost to Mississippi State.
That's right.
A&M the next week beat Missouri and beat them pretty badly. So that's not a good. Yeah. Maybe you're not right, Robbie.
Maybe I made that up in my head.
Well, we'll see. 2021. They lost to LSU, who went undefeated, and then Auburn would have been the SEC championship game, so it was not a big deal.
Okay, moving on.
All right, we'll move on. All right, we're both.
That was more of a wonder.
Yeah.
Thing, but
we'll both take.
I don't know if we have that many people to compare to Vanderbilt.
Yeah, that's
beating
true.
Them. But I don't think like the Kentucky is going to be able to match like some of the stuff they're going to want to do.
Yeah,
I just don't see it.
All right, so we'll both take the Wildcats there. Game of the night, number 9 Ole Miss at number 13 LSU in Tiger Stadium. If Ole Miss wins this game, they are cruising right back to a playoff spot, in my opinion. If they lose, the season is kind of...
Yeah, because if they lose to Georgia, I think they still get in.
Right. Right. A 10-2 Ole Miss would get in.
Yeah. At this point, because they wouldn't have any other bad
losses. With wins over LSU and Oklahoma, they would get in.
Yeah.
So what do we think here?
You know, last week we both said South Carolina was going to lose that game.
We did.
I just didn't see in... I mean, I could see
it
upset.
I did think it was going to be close. But yeah.
This has been kind of a house of horrors for Ole Miss for a long time. Mm-hmm. 2008 was their last win in Baton Rouge, Houston Nutt. I remember that game. it's been a place where, you know, there's been some games that they're right there. They had chances to win. They just, you know, the atmosphere, whatever, got to them. I don't really have, like, a full grasp on this. I don't think LSU's defense is any good. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game if LSU wins. And, you know, can they score consistently enough? I think Ole Miss's defense is really good. I just have a feeling that something weird's going to happen in this game in LSU's favor, and they're going to find a way. It's happened a lot, and I just – something in my gut tells me that, you know, something's going to go wrong for Ole Miss at a big moment in the game, and LSU's going to find a way. This LSU team doesn't look, like, really good. Like, I don't know, you know, what their strengths are, but they're still winning.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. So I'm going to go with LSU.
All right.
Do I want to fall behind by two? Do I really want to put my thoughts?
Go with your heart, Brian.
Well, my heart.
Well, maybe go with your brain.
Yeah. I just – this Mario Nash thing, I just feel like this is going to be a bad week for Mississippi State. Part of that would be Ole Miss winning. God, I'm torn. I really am torn.
I kind of was too. I think it would go either way.
I would be behind by two, but I still have some opportunities, but it would be tough. Two at the midway point is tough to come back from sometimes.
But this thing's so unpredictable. It is. You never know.
I'm going to go with the Rebels.
Hottie toddy Brian.
Oh, just don't. Just don't do that. Don't,
he loves don't. His Rebels.
Don't do that. Yeah. Other people do that. Don't be like them. All right, don't do that. I just think they're going to win. I just feel like they're going to win. I feel like last 2 weeks ago was just like a little – it was just – God just gave us a little bit
you
of
you would still be thrilled if you fell behind by two games.
Oh, if they lose – I'm kind of emotionally insuring myself.
It's just like the you betting on them to win the national championship.
Exactly. So I'll go with the Rebels. All right, so Ole Miss, LSU, either I'll be down two or we'll be tied back up after Saturday night in Death Valley. One last thing before we go. We didn't bring it up on yesterday's show, and that's my mistake. We should have done this. But shout out to Mississippi State Soccer.
Yeah.
Big win over the number one team in the nation, 1-0. They've given up two goals all season, which was in one game. So every other game they have shut out their opponents. They're up to number four in the playoff, in the rankings of this week. They could easily be number one.
Which number four is easily their best ranking ever.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Number nine last week where they were, yeah. I think, was their highest ranking ever, whatever it was. They're just continuing to do things they've never done before. I mean, it's very similar to the rise of the women's basketball program, but this to me is more impressive because they've never been that successful.
Right.
You know, women's basketball, they went to a Sweet 16 or two. This program had never been to an NCAA tournament until 2018. They went to a Sweet 16 last year. They beat the number one team in the country last week. They're top five in the country. It's really impressive. James Armstrong just continues to do some incredible things. Had some great thoughts on your interview with him a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
This team, you know, I look at teams in the past that they win at a very high level. They compete for championships. And defense always seems to be kind of a foundation for those teams in some form or fashion. They're able to play good defense. This team is elite on defense, quite possibly the best defensive team in the country.
Yeah.
And I'm not a soccer guy. You know that.
I do know
So
that.
I don't know a lot about soccer.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know if you've only given up two goals all season.
Yeah, a chance to win
that
games.
That seems to be pretty successful.
We had
and
that
not only that, I mean, they're not giving up shots on the goal.
Yeah. I mean, you can't even get quality looks. You can't get shots on target against this team. That was something that worried me Friday night. Was I think at one point they had 14 or 15 shots on goal and only had the one goal. I was like, that may come back. Because when it's 1-0, all it takes is a deflection to go the wrong way, and you're tied. So, yeah, this defense is incredible. It's really, really good. And we had that question last week in the rumblings. in soccer, if you don't give up goals, you are going to win.
Yeah.
You know, 1-0 doesn't happen that often in baseball.
Because you'll just find a way to get a goal.
Yeah, you can. I mean, a penalty can happen and you get a goal. So, yeah.
They're finding a way to score. You know, one or two is, I mean, at this point, one's all you need. But the defense being the foundation of this program is really the difference. And I look at it and like, this team can accomplish everything. I mean, they really can. They can accomplish everything they want playing that style. So, really impressive. Really, really impressive. And first goal ahead of them is try to win the SEC. We'll see if they're able to do it.
Yeah. All right. Tomorrow show's The Rumblings. Get your questions in now. We'll be happy to answer them, and we'll talk to you again then. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.